From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, August 20th. Coming up, part two of a three-part series looking at issues of sexual abuse at an Urbana church. We'll hear that story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Republicans have not won a statewide race in nearly 7 years when Bruce Rauner was elected governor. But with a difficult governor's race next year, GOP leaders face an uphill battle to unite the party behind one message. Hannah Meisel reports.
Thursday's Republican Day rally on the state fairgrounds in Springfield included more than a few shots from GOP leaders about so-called identity politics from Democrats. But Republicans also spent much of the day firing up their base, including calling for critical race theory to be banned and proclaiming that wearing masks and getting vaccinated against COVID-19 should never be mandated. Kicking off the event, Sangamon County Circuit Clerk Paul Palazzolo made more than a few off-color jokes about Democrats, including digs about U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's appearance, President Joe Biden's mental state, and the governor's weight.
Some people say that JB stands for just bacon. I don't want to say that the governor's heavy, but these days, all of his infrastructure spending is on belts.
Some moderate Republicans condemned the jokes to reporters afterward, saying the GOP should instead be focused on winning voters with ideas and not identity politics. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Central Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis says he believes Americans would support maintaining a footprint of a few thousand soldiers in Afghanistan indefinitely to help keep the peace.
To avoid what we're witnessing right now, in images that are sickening, I think the American people would have been okay with that since they've been okay for decades in South Korea, in Japan, and even in Germany.
Davis says the Biden administration's troop withdrawal from Afghanistan, quote, failed miserably as the Taliban toppled the U.S.-backed government within weeks. The Taylorville Republican calls it ironic that the U.S. has sent thousands of troops back into Afghanistan. Those troops are there to help get Americans and their Afghan helpers out of the country. As Gibson City cleans up from last week's flash flood, a special fund has been set up to help people pay for the damage. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
Go online and you'll find about 24 GoFundMe pages asking for donations to help Gibson City flood victims, some of them general appeals and others for specific households. Meanwhile, Gibson City Mayor Dan Dickey is asking that donations be sent to a fund set up by the city at the Bank of Gibson City. While details of how the money will be dispersed start to be worked out over the next few days, Dickey says he wants the relief fund to focus on the neediest flood damage victims.
But there are people out there that don't have anything, and now they've lost literally everything. Everything in their homes and their apartments is gone, and those are the people we want to target.
Donations can be sent to the Bank of Gibson City, earmarked for the City of Gibson Emergency Flood Relief Fund. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
As students continue to move in on the University of Illinois Urbana campus, officials reported 17 new COVID-19 cases from testing conducted on Tuesday. That's the highest number of cases in a single day on campus since late April. Still to come, the second story in a three-part series on issues of sexual abuse at Covenant Fellowship Church in Urbana. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Yesterday, we heard from victims of sexual abuse at a church in Champaign, Urbana.
It was just mishandled so poorly. The subsequent stories of sexual assault cases and the lack of support at church.
Anna Ree was one of many who say they turned to Covenant Fellowship Church for help after they'd been sexually assaulted or abused, but instead, they were silenced. Today, WBEZ's Esther Yoon-Ji Kang and Susie Ahn report on the culture and power structure at the church that allowed spiritual abuse and the mishandling of sexual misconduct to go unchecked for years.
Even during the summer, the main quad at the University of Illinois is speckled with people soaking up the sun or prospective students taking a tour along the expansive green space. Once the fall semester starts, on what's known as Quad Day, the space is filled with registered student organizations that set up booths and get people to join their clubs. Covenant Fellowship Church, better known as CFC, drew in hundreds of new U of I students each year, many of them Korean Americans from the Chicago suburbs.
They do a really good job at, like, drawing in freshmen.
The worship team doesn't suck. It is the best music that we've heard at church.
You feel seen. You feel, like, totally accepted.
When Amos Lee got to campus from suburban Skokie, he was impressed by CFC. Where Asian Americans may have been marginalized in larger society, he says at CFC, they found their voice.
We all grew up in racialized societies where we don't see people like us in power. And you come to CFC and you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Korean Americans. All of your leaders are Korean Americans. All of your pastors are Korean Americans.
And it was here where CFC's former longtime pastor, Min Chung, would build a ministry so large that one pastor on the East Coast called Chung the most influential Korean American pastor in America. But CFC was also a place where a culture of piety and shame sought to keep spiritual abuse and sexual misconduct hidden for decades.
Founding pastor Min Chung was himself a U of I grad. He started CFC in 1990 and set up the church's structure in a way that gave him enormous power with little oversight. Longtime members say Chung was charismatic and self-effacing, often talking about what little money he had, but that God always provided. People were willing to listen and do whatever he said. Expectations were more intense for lay leaders at the church. Chris Sotelo was one of them. He recalls a meeting in which leaders asked Chung about oversight.
Who are you accountable to if there's no elder board here? Who are you accountable to? We were asking this question to Min, and he said, I'm accountable to Jesus. I don't need an elder board.
There was also a notion that to receive more blessings from God, you needed to get in good with Pastor Chung. That meant doing menial chores like cleaning his home, driving him around, or babysitting his children. The environment was most hostile toward women. Chris Sotelo's wife, Mara, says women were treated as stumbling blocks for men.
For women, it's like you're the one to blame. If something happens, if that guy likes you, or if he says something to you, well, it's because you probably asked for it. You probably wore something that made him think of you in a certain way.
CFC also condemned gossiping, or what might be perceived as gossiping, equating it to creating division in the church. That culture allowed Min Chung to keep his own sexual misconduct secret for years.
In 2001, Min Chung was riding with two other CFC members from Chicago to Champaign. Unbeknownst to the driver, Chung touched the female passenger below the waist. According to sources, the victim pretended to be asleep, but later confronted Chung. He apologized quickly and asked to bury the incident. It was only revealed a few years ago when other church members found out. Chung later addressed the matter at a church meeting.
During the early years of CFC, I inappropriately touched a woman.
In a secret recording provided anonymously to WBEZ, Chung can be heard calling the incident, quote, an inappropriate touch over the clothing. But sources say that does not tell the whole story.
Candace Lee and her husband Dan had found out about Chung's sexual misconduct months before he addressed the church. They confronted him privately, asking what he did.
He said, it's better that you not know because then you will sin. If you find out all the details, it will cause you to sin. And I don't want that for you guys. Like, he was protecting us.
Candace Lee says she and her husband felt manipulated during that meeting. She says Chung asked them to promise not to dig for any more information about his misconduct. He told them to pray for him aloud and asked for hugs as he left. Another former leader, J.T. Park, also pressed Chung about the incident. And the pastor tried to play down the misconduct, that it was just a one-time thing.
He compared himself with someone who struggled with pornography and quote-unquote never repented. But he, because he repented, is in a sense in a better position before God.
Chung's now estranged oldest child, Josie, provided screenshots of conversations with her father. She says Chung offered her a sanitized version too. Josie says he also told her that after the incident, he counseled the victim and that she had forgiven him.
I just cannot imagine the level of gaslighting, the extensive trauma that could have possibly caused.
Josie says there was little support from her parents when she struggled with depression and an attempted suicide, and then when she came out as transgender. She has since cut ties with her family.
Last year, some CFC alums went before the Korean Central Presbytery, a denominational body CFC pastors belong to. The former CFC members accused Chung of 8 charges, including sexual misconduct, counseling of the victim, lying about the incident, and even helping another pastor cover up his sexual abuse.
There is a culture of abuse that is buried, that is hidden.
Mi-ryong Fontaine was part of the allegation team. She's a founding member of CFC. The Korean Central Presbytery only took up 1 of the 8 charges, the one Min Chung confessed to, inappropriately touching a woman. This past April, they found him guilty of, quote, sexual harassment, and did not censure him.
When we brought our allegation, we did not use the term harassment. When we heard that the ruling was harassment, we were disappointed.
We reached out to the presbytery, but the group declined an interview.
I'm sorry.
We reached out to Min Chung through email, phone, and social media and got no response. We also drove to his home in Urbana and left a letter with a family member there. As of this broadcast, we've received no response.
Sources say current CFC leaders found out about Chung's misconduct in 2018, but didn't take steps toward accountability until the fallout from the Letters from Rahab Instagram account. We reached out to the CFC leaders, but they declined an interview. They sent a statement saying the church is, quote, deeply grieved and saddened by the pain that people may have experienced, end quote. They said they've now separated from Min Chung. They're also getting outside help to investigate abuse and create a healthier church culture. Current members like Becky Kim Park say the church is headed in the right direction.
The hope is that moving forward, we can not just rebuild, but like transform how we handle those kinds of situations.
In our final story tomorrow, we'll look at how church members past and present are moving forward and what experts say is the right course of action for churches to take in cases of abuse. I'm Esther Yoon-ji Kang.
And I'm Susie Ahn.
Hear the third and final part of this series on Covenant Fellowship Church Monday on 217 Today. Find the full story online at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies today with a high of 88 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Eric Stock, Jim Meadows, Esther Yoon-ji Kang, and Susie Ahn. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a good weekend.